The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on March 5th, 1982 in Boston, Massachusetts. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16, Text 24.
Decides and sanctions what will happen to every individual soul who is Paramatma teacher. Sometimes allowing the laws of karma to take place, allowing the person's desires to be fulfilled, and sometimes not. Therefore, only Krishna is independent. Everyone else is dependent. Even the relative independence that people seek in this world is in itself not the real independence. Therefore, there's never any satisfaction except for a moment. Everyone wants to get further independence. They vote in a government, less federal structure, this, that, but everyone is bound by so many limitations that no one can ultimately free one except for some marginal relative, more or less. But it's actually all completely dependent. Even a devotee cannot take the mercy of the Lord for granted. The devotee cannot compel Krishna that he must deliver me, or that he must associate, or must anything. Sanada Pisani Chena Tarodi Vasanishana Ahaniya Manadena Kitaniya Sadahari. One is recommended to always remain in a humble state of mind to pray unto the Lord. Even if one is offensive, the Lord, he will forgive the offenses. The Holy Name will forgive the offenses if we continue to chant and request the Holy Name to forgive us for making the offenses to Him. But it's not a mechanical process that He's obligated. You put in 25 cents and you get out your bar of candy. You put in 25,000 Hare Krishna mantras and you get out your bhakti. No, if you don't want it, if you don't have lalasa, if you don't have a desire, and if Krishna doesn't give His mercy, then there's nothing that can come. Change that. Nothing that can force it. Of course, the Lord, He can change His mind at any moment. And He's the most merciful. Nonetheless, it is not simply a mechanical process. Ultimately, it's His compassion that delivers. He may deliver sooner than we deserve. Or He may decide to keep the devotee waiting in intense, enthusiastic desire, relishing the devotee's intense desire to serve His lotus feet. That is the Krishna, that is Krishna's own independent sweet will that He can do accordingly. The holy name of Krishna is so powerful. We discussed last night how one has to avoid the offenses to the holy name. Just like when someone commits an offense to a devotee, then he touches the lotus feet of the devotee, requests the devotee's forgiveness, he gets absolved by asking the devotee. This is Durvasa. He had to come all the way back to see Ambarish Maharaj to get forgiven for his offenses. So similarly, if we commit offenses to the holy name of Krishna, the only way to get absolved of those offenses is by chanting Hare Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna and requesting the holy name to forgive us for the offenses, and this way one becomes purified. But with offenses, one will not be able to feel transcendental ecstasy. Offenses obstruct one's natural feeling of attachment, taste, ecstasy for chanting the holy name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was having his very ecstatic kirtans, he would only have the devotees present in front of non-devotees because they would tend to considered in some other way, he would not initially manifest those private kirtans. So some one time, there was an intruder. Srivas's mother-in-law. India, mother-in-laws are very respected people, just like one's mother, practically. Are they any different? In some cases, maybe more. Especially if it's the boy's mother-in-law, depending on the family relationship. But it's a very respectable relationship, actually. So Srivas's mother-in-law, without telling anyone, she hid in a basket. She thought, I'm going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya came, everyone assembled, they started chanting. Lord Chaitanya was chanting. Suddenly he turned, he stopped the kirtan. He said, I'm not feeling any ecstasy. Who is it for? Immediately all the devotees, they felt completely petrified, thinking maybe I committed some offense, maybe I'm the cause. They start looking at each other, feeling a bit nervous. And then Lord Chaitanya said, there must be some outsider here creating a type of non-devotional mood which is obstructing our natural ecstasy. Actually, the ecstasy is not something that's forced. We're servants of the holy name. We're not the master of the name. I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna machine, and then I'm going to immediately force the ecstasies to come. It's not like that. We're the servant of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya, when he was telling other people how about his chanting, he would say, by chanting, I cannot help myself. The chanting makes me laugh, makes me dance, makes me cry. This is not, this is simply the holy name's effect. It's nothing to do with me. So we are the servants of the holy name. We chant Hare Krishna, and then the holy name makes us feel like dancing. This is all the Aladhani Shakti, or the spiritual potency, pleasure potency coming from the spiritual platform, the spiritual world, that gives us that enthusiasm. So Lord Chaitanya was chanting, he wasn't getting any ecstasy. The holy name wasn't giving any ecstasy because there was a materialist intruder. Even so, Srivas and everyone else, they started searching the place around, looking. They couldn't find anything. Didn't see anyone. So then again they started to hear. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kirtan was going on. Lord Chaitanya wasn't looking very blissful. Stop the kirtan. Still no ecstasy is coming. Why is it? Who is at fault? So then immediately the devotees, they became again very anxious, each one thinking that maybe I have committed some offense to Lord Chaitanya. Then Srivas, he became determined, I'm going to search very thoroughly if there's no intruder. There must be some intruder here. So he searched and searched, and there, under the bamboo basket, was his mother-in-law. But at that time, he was so anxious to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he didn't consider any material consideration at all. Although he knew that this was his mother-in-law, how could he not know? You see, he knew, immediately seeing her, but he treated her just like a stranger. He said, what are you doing here? Grabbed her by the hair and pulled her out and threw her out the front door. Locked the door behind her. He even though undoubtedly there would be repercussions in the future of one sort or another. But anyway, he didn't pay any attention. He wasn't at all concerned anything else. Come what may, he wanted to simply please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here was an intruder. He was very angry that this was an offensive thing, trying to sneak in on the Lord's private Sankirtan party. So he threw her right out. Now, no one else recognized the lady that he threw out. But Lord Chaitanya, being Sarvajna, being the knower of everyone and everything, he knew. So he wasn't going to let this one pass. After the door was shut, Shiva said, all right, now the intruders are gone. Lord Chaitanya couldn't resist in telling everyone. But you know who he just threw out? That was his mother-in-law. And he embraced Srivas and said that you are, in fact, the real true devotee. So, the holy name is a great benediction for us, because Lord Chaitanya is so kind, he's allowing us to take part in his Sankirtan party. We have to keep faith in the words of the spiritual master, Krishna. Without a spiritual master, then a person is just like a ship lost at sea without a captain, without a rudder. Then one's in a very dangerous position. Tatviddhi paripadhina paripasthena sevaya pradikshanti te gyanam anivas tatvadarshanaha. One has to approach spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, serve the spiritual master, and take up the instructions that he gives. In this way, Krishna himself showed the example. He did whatever his spiritual master asked. Lord Krishna accepted Sandapani Muni as a spiritual master, even though Krishna himself is the spiritual master of the whole world. Because Krishna explains that the acharya says that the that whatever a great man does, the common man follows. So in Krishna, whatever he does, everyone's going to try to follow. So if he accepts spiritual master, others will follow. He says, I know he as well, Krishna didn't do it, why should we? Although Krishna himself is not to be imitated, he did so many things that no one else can do, like lift the Govardhan hill at the age of 7, expanding himself into 16,000 forms in Dwarka, millions of forms in Vrindavana, so many other inconceivable activities, like leaving the material world, going to the planet of Mahavishnu and Arjuna, and so many things. Obviously no one can imitate, yet still Krishna, generally, he tries to lead his activities in such a way that people in general may benefit from them. So one of his pastimes was he accepted spiritual master. He did even menial service from carrying out the firewood or collecting the firewood from the forest and other services. So similarly, it is essential that we have a spiritual master. When one finds a spiritual master, bona fide, following in the footsteps of previous spiritual masters, then one carries out the instructions of the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead with implicit faith. In this way, one makes rapid advancement in spiritual life. So one chants the holy name, and this is a special mercy. By chanting the holy name, by avoiding offenses to the holy name, then one naturally develops spontaneous love, spontaneous devotion, spontaneously achieves the highest liberation from all types of material delusions and material conditions. So, sometimes people think that because of their austerities, they are very advanced. They think that just by my being very austere, or my being very learned, that that's enough. But devotion is a very subtle, very specific, at the same time, thing, which we must assimilate to actually achieve the mercy of Krishna. No other extraneous qualification, be it learning, or be it austerity, or being very active, alone will not help. Will not ultimately itself be enough. One has to have devotion. There was once a very austere brahmachari who I believe would only eat leaves. He was so austere. He knew the scriptures quite well, but he wasn't a devotee. He was very proud of his learning, of his austerity. But he was well known in Navadvip. He also one day approached Srivas, if I could just sit in the house and watch the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srivas, he agreed, thinking, well, he's a brahmachari. So he was sitting in the house, again Lord Chaitanya came, this was sometime later. Apparently Srivas thought this would be another situation. So Lord Chaitanya started the Sankirtan, they all started, the drums were beating, the kartals playing, the quan shells and bugles blowing, different jars, wampers, and other instruments. Lord Chaitanya's ankle bells ringing, his garland moving from one side to the next, his arms raised up. But again, he said, I'm not getting any ecstasy. Why there's no ecstasy in this chanting today? Every day we're chanting, we're getting ecstasy. Today, why there is no ecstasy? What is the cause? Who is the reason for this? Of course, everyone immediately felt petrified with fear. But Srivas this time, he immediately owned up that, well, Chaitanya, I must admit that I brought one very austere brahmachari, very learned in the scripture, I brought him here, and he wanted to see the Sankirtan, so I thought it was all right. He's in my house. Lord Chaitanya, who is this brahmachari? He looked at him, he brought him out. He said, he is not a devotee. And he started chastising him. You are so proud of your austerity, of your learning. What is the use of simply austerity or learning if you do not have pure devotion for Krishna? It's simply a false pride. We are not impressed by these things. We want to see surrender unto the Lord. You take him out, he cannot be part of the Sankirtan. So the devotee, that brahmachari, was taken out. And he felt greatly humbled by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. And he was thinking that somehow or other, even for a few moments, I was able to see Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan. I was able to see that pastime. That I am so fortunate. I'm not a devotee, but somehow I was allowed that opportunity to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan with all of his associates, that pastime, even for a few moments. And this way he was absorbed, thinking that although I'm so unqualified, somehow I got this special mercy. And Lord Chaitanya, being in everyone's heart, when he could recognize the sincere sentiment of the brahmachari, he sent someone out, bring him back in. And then Lord Chaitanya gave his special mercy to the brahmachari, and he was made into a pure devotee, and he was admitted into the Sankirtan party. So all the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they prayed to Lord Chaitanya that There are certain class of preaching devotee, a special devotee of Lord Chaitanya. They pray that wherever you go, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, and have your transcendental sankirtan pastimes in whatever universe and whatever place. May we always be able to go and be associated with your transcendental devotees and your transcendental pastimes. They don't care for liberation into the spiritual world. They're satisfied going wherever Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are, even there in the material world. If they can assist in those transcendental pastimes, that is fully satisfying for those devotees. So, actually this planet ordinarily is not as opulent as the spiritual sky, as the heavenly planets, the upper planetary system. But when Lord Krishna came, then of course the planet became so opulent that even the denizens of the heavenly planets were interested in coming. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, the denizens of the heavenly planets wanted to come because they could recognize that in a short lifetime, if we can simply pass and participate in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can completely achieve the highest perfection of life in just 50, 60 short years. How long the human being is living in this material world during the Kali Yuga? Not very long. Even 29-year-old people, 18-year-old people, some of them are just dying in their sleep. They have a cardiac arrest. See, Yamaraj has made his arrest. When the time is up, then they come and make their arrest. The Yamadutas. No one can live even one breath longer than the time allotted. So we shouldn't waste any breaths. So many breaths are wasted in so many material pursuits. So we shouldn't waste any breath. Every breath should be used to glorify Krishna in the service of Krishna. This is our real shelter. To follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this short lifetime, we can fulfill that which even the demigods cannot achieve in their lifetime of thousands and thousands of years. We should take a special consideration of the mercy of Nitai Gaur. They're coming down, giving us the understanding and the pure devotion to Sri Sri Radha Vallabh, Radha Gopi Vallabh, so that we can perfect ourselves, even though we are otherwise unqualified. This is called Ahituki Kripa. Cause this mercy, because there's no cause. There's no way that you can force Lord Chaitanya's hand. There's no reason that I should get that special mercy because of this or that reason. The only reason, ultimately, is the causeless mercy. There's no compellation. He may give or not. No matter what you do, he can withhold it if he wants. That means he's the ultimate authority. Just like a policeman arrests you, right? You got certain rights under the Fifth Amendment. If he doesn't do that, according to the law, if he doesn't arrest you properly, then, or if he frees you improperly, then you can always be, take some other recourse, you can force the hand, whatever. But you can't force yourself free to get the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to get the love of Krishna. It's nothing that can be forced. You can't plead the Fifth Amendment or any other amendment. All you can plead is for mercy. But one can put himself in a very favorable position to get that mercy by constantly chanting, by constantly showing the desire for Chaitanya, and he will reciprocate. There's no doubt about that. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gautama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is there a question?
Yes? Why is it the Lord Chaitanya said that he couldn't feel ecstasy in the presence of even the man, the body of the sea? Many of the chants he would chant in public would be hundreds and thousands of people present, presumably not all of the devotees.
When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having the pastimes where he didn't want any non-devotee to be present, we cannot forget that Lord Chaitanya, not feeling ecstasy, was just a manifestation that he knew the person was there. He's the Paramatma, he knows everything that's going on. So he knew the person was trying to do a sneaky peek. What do you call it? Window peeker? Peeking Tom act. And just to teach the devotees a lesson, not to show ecstatic symptoms before non-devotees, Lord Chaitanya gave these instructions, as well as what was the position of a devotee when he made the particular rule that non-devotees at that particular time wouldn't come inside the compound. Lord Chaitanya, he can feel ecstasy anytime, anywhere. But he chose to show his pastime in that way, knowing that there were the intruders there. Later, when he was in his Jagannath Puri or other pastimes, sometimes he went into what was known as Antar Bhav, where he became fixed in an internal consciousness, where he became completely unaware of what was going outside. He became completely absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna. That was a very special pastime that was described by Krishna Das Kaviraj and Chaitanya Charitamrita, that as Lord Chaitanya's pastimes progressed, the latter part of his life, then he was absorbed, not so much in teaching his followers and spreading the Sankirtan movement then, but at that time he was engaged in relishing the inner purpose of his pastime, relishing the pastimes of Krishna in association with some very intimate devotee. So, there are different periods of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes when he performed various different types of activities. We can understand this activity was performed to give us some specific teaching. Just like Krishna, he may have accepted a guru, Sandapani Muni, yet he's the guru of everyone. He admitted that when he spoke to Arjuna. So sometimes Krishna, he may do one thing to give an example. Then someone will say, well, since he has to have a guru, then why should we accept him to be the Supreme Person? That type of logic would not be appropriate. There are so many other proofs that he's the Supreme Person and he's accepting guru or he's following different behavioral norms just to show us what is the standard, since he's playing as an actor basically some pastimes like human beings. So simultaneously within the pastimes you'll find this variegatedness and one has to understand it from the vision of the realized devotees. Any other questions?
When we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya had hundreds and thousands of maybe millions of followers following him around. So is his life recorded in like mundane history? Or?
Sure.
You never hear about this part of it. Yes.
Sure, there's a lot of people we don't hear about. Western, in the history books of Indian national history, they hear about it. In America, they don't know anything outside of America, and maybe Napoleon and a few people. But in America, you know, well, Thomas Jefferson and this one and that one, but whoever heard of half the people you got on your dollar bills in any other country. So, Lord Chaitanya, because he was preaching within India at that time, and until now his preaching, his message did not go outside, actually, the Indian people will be more acquainted with him than the people outside. Now people know Lord Chaitanya all over the world. It wasn't until 400 years after Jesus Christ that Christianity became established, the time of Constantinople, that he became a Christian. And after that time, Christianity actually gained a foothold in the world. This, historically, it's not unusual that a spiritual movement takes an international foothold, even hundreds of years, after the person performed his own pastimes and left his own the teachings. Why the difference, of course, is that the scriptures left by Lord Chaitanya are still intact. There's been no Constantinople Convention where they've been edited or cut down. In India, the materialists, they call Lord Chaitanya the first civil disobedient practitioner, great social reformer. They have all their materialistic vision of it. That he overcome the caste system, he accepted people from all different parts of the society. So they have their vision like that in the history books. The materialists, even the communist history books have to include Lord Chaitanya, but they won't accept him as the personality of God. Although they usually make reference to it, that he's accepted as the incarnation of God. Actually, the materialists, they don't know even what is God, so how can they understand what is an incarnation? Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Jaya Prabhakaswami and Jaya Padhi Jaya.